Hello, and thank you very much for coming today. So, to get started, this is research that was going on at UW-Madison when both Eileen Cullen and I were there. The study is between 2007-2014. The study I'll be talking about today was done in 2013. Before I get started, though, I want to acknowledge many, many people who've helped us with this project over the years, both undergrad, research staff, professors, as well as USDA that provided us with funding. So without further ado, when you look at conventional farming systems, you typically have a very simplified food chain that you're considering. You have these bottom-up effects, which is, effect of both farming practices and fertilizer aimed at increasing the yield in your crops. And then you have things such as insect pests, which of course damage the crops and reduce yield. Historically, again, in conventional systems, the typical approach is to spray the insects with something in order to reduce their numbers. Of course, in organic systems, this is not an option. Instead, the organic systems rely heavily on natural biocontrol in order to reduce pests and in turn improve yield. So what you're looking at is a very simplified food chain with both bottom-up effects and top-down effects. What we're interested in is looking primarily at these bottom-up effects. If you can fertilize your crop in a specific way, can you actually reduce damage to the crops from insect pests? And also, might there be some indirect effect of attracting biocontrol pests to your plots through the way that you fertilize your crops? Now, one method of fertilization that has been around for many years is the basic cation saturation ratio, also known sometimes as the soil balance hypothesis. This is the idea that if you supplement your soils with a large amount of calcium, typically in order to shift the calcium to magnesium to potassium ratio, you can achieve this very specific ratio that's supposed to achieve a number of things. It's supposed to facilitate cation uptake, improve plant growth, and fortify plant tissues against herbivory. Now, this is employed in both conventional and organic systems, although from my personal experience, it seems like it's a little more widespread in organic systems. However, a thorough study done by Kupitki and Menzies in 2007 looked at decades of BCSR research and concluded that whenever changes to plant composition and performance were noticed, that result was due to changes in soil pH. When you add calcium to the soil, farmers usually often add it in the form of lime, which actually changes the pH. So it's that change in pH that brought about the differences and not the increase in calcium or change in the cation ratio specifically. However, the idea that by increasing the amount of calcium in your soils, that calcium will be taken up into the plant and will provide some protection against herbivory, that has been proposed, but it hasn't really been thoroughly tested. So that's what our project specifically was designed to study. This was a project that took place in Arlington, Wisconsin, an organic project between 2007 and 2014. The crops, there were 32 plots that were raised in a four-year, three-crop rotation, corn, soybean, 2 years of alfalfa. Half of these plots were fertilized with standard organic, as in manure, annual supplementation. So the additions of manure would add some calcium to the soil, but not a lot. And then we also had BCSR organic plots in which they were fertilized with manure annually, but then also received additions to every 2 to 3 years of gypsum, about 450 to 550 pounds per acre, depending on the year. And the idea of that was to shift that cation ratio, the calcium to magnesium to potassium ratio, without changing the pH. That's why we elected to add gypsum instead of lime. So if you think of these systems along a continuum, you might predict that the BCSR plots, based on what's predicted from the hypothesis, would encounter poor larval development on the plants because they have extra calcium in the plant tissues, and that there would also be lower crop damage because the crops are better protected against those insects. On the other hand, standard organic plots, you might expect greater larval development, greater crop damage, and we don't really have any preconceived notions about what might happen with biocontrol. That's just something I decided to test in this study because it hasn't really been investigated, so far as I know, in a BCSR system. The study system that I decided to focus on were the corn plots in 2013 in this field. And the pest that I liked to use was the European corn borer, which, as most people here probably know, is a significant corn pest in North America since the early 1900s. It's still locally abundant, although BT corn has driven the populations down, and of course organic corn remains threatened by these pests since it cannot contain the BT trait, and it's been an extensively studied pest, so we had a fair idea of how it might respond in the field. The larva performance assay I did was in the field, and I also did some egg predation assays. And I did this experiment two times. So the first round actually corresponded with the first flight of European corn borers that normally occurs in south central Wisconsin. There were four BCSR plots, four standard organic plots, and the corn plants were approximately the V7 stage, so about 1 meter tall. This was just after we had finished the last cultivation in those fields. So plants in every one of the plots were infested with either 0, 2, 4, or 6 European corn borer egg masses. Each egg mass contains somewhere between 40 to 100 eggs, so that gives you an idea of the infestation level. So 6 would be incredibly high infestation of a corn plant. 2 would probably be closer to average. Half of these plants then were covered immediately with a cloth bag, so that light still could get through and the plant could grow, but predators were excluded from that plant and the eggs were protected from predation. The other plants, the eggs were allowed to be exposed for 2 days, after which those plants were also covered with a cloth. So that allowed some predation to occur, but then we could cover up the plant, prevent further predation, and allow the larvae to hatch out and develop on both sets of plants. We left these plants out in the field for 10 days. I wanted to leave it longer, but the corn started to outgrow the bag, so we had to harvest after 10 days and get our data from there. The data that we actually collected before we infested the plants, we collected a leaf from each plant to analyze for 12 minerals. I will focus on calcium and sulfur for today. And then we also cut down the plant and collected above ground biomass at the end of the study. The larval data that we collected from each plant, so we froze the plant at the end of the study, dissected it to get all the larvae out of it, and from there we counted the number of surviving corn borer larvae per plant and the mean development stage of the corn borer larvae per plant. So what instar were they at? And we measured instar by measuring the prothoracic plate on each caterpillar, because mass is a little more variable, so it's harder to get a good assessment of development stage by just looking at mass. So predicted effects, the idea is that if you add gypsum, that will increase attributes, that will increase these plant attributes, and that will in turn decrease larval survival and development. Of course, but as you increase the number of corn borers on a plant, you would expect the amount of damage of the plant to go up, so biomass would decrease. Survival and development would also decrease in the corn borers due to interspecific competition. And then if you have eggs that have been predated on, then that should increase biomass due to a decrease in larvae and increase survival and development, and also decrease survival and development in the subsequent larvae. So what did we find? Well, I will start from the ground up. These data are actually taken from the soil and plant data are taken from a greenhouse study we did the previous year, but they're very consistent with the data that we got from this study as well. So what you see is that there was a significant shift in our soil samples between the potassium, calcium, and magnesium ratios, as you might expect. So the standard organic are the green boxes here, the BCSR, the white circles here, and in the 2012 study, we also had a conventional treatment. But what's important is the shift between these two organic treatments. You can definitely see that we were changing that cation ratio. At the same time, I should also point out that we were changing the sulfur content in the soil too. This is important when you consider what happened with the plant tissues. So you see here that the plant tissue ratios were not changed quite as much as the soil ratios, but there still is a significant shift in the sulfur concentration in the plant tissues. So both the calcium and the sulfur are getting into the plant tissues, but the bigger change between our two organic treatments is in the sulfur concentrations, and that's going to become important later on. As far as the corn borer performance, this is looking at survivorship. On the left-hand side, we have the final number of corn borer larvae in relation to the initial number of egg masses. As you might expect, you put more egg masses on the plant, you're going to get more larvae. However, there was a significant effect of the predation treatment. So the plants in which the eggs were left uncovered and exposed to predation for 2 days did have significantly fewer larvae at the end of the study than the ones that had been the eggs had been covered immediately. There was no significant effect of soil treatment on survivorship, however, and there was no interaction between soil treatment and the predation treatment. Corn borer development had some interesting relationships too. The first one that I should point out, possibly the lesser one, is that when we covered the eggs, the larvae actually developed slightly but significantly faster than when the eggs were uncovered. My best guess for why this is happening is because since those eggs were covered for 2 days, the bag may have helped shelter the plant and perhaps warm them up slightly, so the eggs were able to hatch slightly earlier and the larvae to develop faster. I don't know that that's the case because, of course, we couldn't go in and collect those, check those eggs or those larvae, you know, after the bag had been placed on them. But nevertheless, we did see that effect. What's more interesting is what happened with the soil treatment in relation to the number of egg masses. So again, as you increase the number of egg masses on a plant, you would expect a decrease in the mean size of each larva because it has greater intraspecific competition, and that indeed is the case with the standard organic treatment, which is the green line here. But with the BCSR treatment, the one that was receiving gypsum supplements, we actually saw no significant change in larval development stage, even as you had these extraordinarily high numbers of larvae on the plant. So that suggests that mineral supplementation may actually be benefiting the larvae and that they're able to develop faster, even under high densities on these BCSR plants. So for round two of the study, we repeated the study later in the season with the again, at a time that would coordinate with the second generation of corn borers that we get in south central Wisconsin. This time, the plants were actually at the blister stage, so the ears had were forming but had not yet fully dried out. And each plant was this time infested with 0, 2, or 4 egg masses because we found the 6 egg mass treatment in the previous experiment was logistically difficult to deal with. We had 3 treatments this time. One was simply a predation assay where we set out eggs on the plant, pinned it to the ear, developing ear, and then collected those eggs after 2 days and counted simply the number of chewed eggs. And at the same time, the second treatment was our eggs to cover treatment, which came from the previous experiment where we place the eggs on the, pin the eggs to the ear and then immediately cover them with a cloth to protect them from predation. And then we had the eggs uncovered treatment where the eggs were exposed to predators for 2 days and then covered with a cloth right before they hatched. This time we were allowed to run the experiment for a bit longer. It was about 14 days that we ran this experiment. So the larvae were able to develop for a longer period of time and presumably do more damage to the corn. The data that we collected from this, once again, before we infested each plant, we collected a leaf and assessed it for plant tissue nutrients. And we, at the end of the study, instead of looking at above-ground biomass, we were able to collect that ear and get an assessment of the proportion of kernels damaged. We also collected the number of surviving larvae per plant and mean development stage of corn borers, as before. And then I also, while the study was going on, I went through and did a plant-by-plant count of the number of predators on each plant that we used for the predator bioassay, and also collected those eggs and determined the number of corn borer eggs missing or predated. So I'll start with the egg predation results. These were actually interesting in a way that I can't quite explain. We found that in standard organic plots, as you increase the number of eggs, you increase the number of eggs that are predated or missing. However, predator efficacy did not significantly change or perhaps was reduced, depending on how you look at it, in the BCSR plots. So even though the actual number of predators per treatment was not significantly different, so I found the same number of predators in each kind of plot, Predator efficacy was predator activity was actually a bit different in the plots. And if anybody has an idea for why that might be the case, I'd be happy to hear it. Larval performance and larval development were not very exciting. We saw a marginal predation effect on survivorship in the pattern that we would expect. Uncovered eggs had slightly lower survivorship on the plants. That was about it. Soil treatment and all interactions were not significant. And then we also saw, this time we saw no significant effects of anything really on corn borer larval development. However, what we did notice this time is when doing the yield assessment, we found that the damage was actually higher in standard organic corn. So here we're looking at proportion kernels damage, which increase as you increase the number of larvae, but that damage was reduced with the black line here with the BCSR plots as opposed to the standard organic plots. So this might show some support for the BCSR hypothesis. However, to get at what is actually driving this change, I did one final analysis, which was a path analysis, looking at this suite of variables. This turned out to be the best fit model I could get for our data. How number of egg masses that we put on the plant affect corn borer larvae, how larvae in turn affect corn plant biomass, and then how plant calcium and sulfur concentrations both directly affect corn plant biomass and indirectly affect it through its effect on corn borer larvae. In the following graphs that you'll see, black arrows indicate a non-significant effect, blue indicate a significantly positive effect, and red equal a significantly negative effect. For the first round of the analysis, not surprisingly, since we didn't see any significant differences in corn plant biomass and corn borer larvae numbers by themselves, there was really no significant direct or indirect effects of anything on either the number of larvae or corn plant biomass. And this is on a plant-by-plant basis. This is not looking at treatment separate. So there was no significance here for round one. For round two, however, we noticed that as you increase the number of corn borers, you decrease yield. That's what this effect is here, this blue arrow here and this red one here. The corn calcium and corn sulfur turned out to play an important role in this, but not in the way that we expected. We found that there were actually no direct effects of these minerals on the proportion of undamaged kernels, so in other words, the yield of the plant. But that corn calcium actually indirectly influenced yield by improving the number of larvae on the plant, whereas sulfur was negatively correlated with the number of corn borer larvae on the plant. So there seem to be these indirect effects, and the one that mineral that seems to be responsible for either suppressing or being associated with something that suppresses corn borer larvae is the sulfur, not the calcium. So to summarize, we saw corn borer larval development compromised by standard organic treatment and greater egg predation in the standard organic plots, but the corn damage was also higher in standard organic plots. So the bottom-up effects in this system seem to be having a much stronger influence than the top-down effects. Nutrients in the late season affected corn borers, resulting in lower damage in BCSR corn. However, when we broke it down by path analysis, it was the sulfur, not the calcium, that was negatively affecting European corn borers. So the BCSR mechanism is not supported, but these gypsum additions that we added could still play a role in mediating pest damage to crops, at least under certain circumstances. So that's all I have, and I'd be happy to take questions.
Our next speaker is Ebony Morell, who is from Penn State University, and she's going to be talking about, I know it's a hot topic in the Wisconsin organic community, is soil balance beneficial? Gypsum fertilization affects European corn borer development and insect damage to corn.
All right, thank you so much. I will try to keep this clicking along, but before I get into the talk, I wanted to thank you again, Aaron, for the chance to talk at the symposium. And I also want to take a moment to thank the many, many people who've helped us with this project over the years, even before I had the pleasure of working on it, the staff at Arlington Research Center and the many undergraduates we had, as well as the funding that we received through USDA. Let's see, I have a pointer here. So in conventional systems, of course, when you're considering your top-down versus bottom-up management, on your crops. Bottom-up typically consists of, you know, of course, there are many physical practices that one can implement, but in order to optimize yield, you're adding some kind of fertilizer to your corn or your crop of choice. And then you have pests that are feeding upon that crop and reducing yield. So in order to control those pests, the typical way is to use some kind of pesticide in order to reduce your populations. Of course, in organic farming, you're much more limited in terms of your pesticide usage. So instead, we tend to rely on more natural biocontrol, natural enemies, in order to regulate pests. However, when you're considering a natural system like this, you have to try to balance your top-down effects with your bottom-up effects. And because your top-down effect is biological in nature, then there is potential for the fertilizer that you're using to come up through the system and have direct effect, not only direct effects on your crop, but also these indirect effects on the insects within the system. So there are a lot of different ways that one can go about fertilizing their crops. One hypothesis that has been around for years is the soil balance, or sometimes known as the basic cation saturation ratio. I'm going to refer to it as BCSR within this talk. It's the idea that if you balance the certain ratio of cations in your soil, usually the calcium to magnesium to potassium ratio, that you can obtain a number of benefits from that, some of those claims being that this specific ratio will facilitate cation uptake into the plants, improve plant growth and yield, and also that the additional nutrients, particularly the calcium, gets a lot of attention about this, is supposed to somehow fortify plant tissues against herbivory. Now, there was a review article done back in 2007 that looked at over 100 years of BCSR, or soil balance related data, and found that the first two hypotheses in any way, at any rate, are not really supported. What they found was that in most cases when people are trying to balance the cation ratio, they add lime to the soil, and it's the subsequent change in soil pH rather than the change in the nutrient balance specifically that seemed to drive most of the effects that were observed across studies. However, this idea, the third hypothesis, that plant tissues are somehow fortified against herbivory has not really been thoroughly tested. So the project that I was involved with was designed to test precisely this. This was an experiment that ran between 2007 to 2014 at Arlington Agricultural Research Station in South Central Wisconsin. This was organically managed crops that were raised in a four-year, three-crop rotation, 2 years of alfalfa, one of corn, one of soybean. And these randomized plots here, were fertilized with a treatment that we called standard organic treatment, where they were annually fertilized with only manure. So the manure is adding a little bit of calcium to the soil, but not a lot. And then we had our BCSR organic treatment, in which we added manure annually, but then every 2 to 3 years we were adding gypsum additions, somewhere between 450 to 550 pounds per acre. And so those gypsum additions did add a lot of calcium to the soil, but they were also adding sulfur as well. The reason that we used gypsum instead of lime was to control for that change in pH, to make sure that there wasn't a change in pH, rather, so that any effects that we observe is due to the mineral supplementation and not changes in soil pH. So if you consider these two treatments, a BCSR versus a standard organic, some of the predictions that you might expect to see is that the crops that are raised in these plots may have poor larval development if larvae are allowed to feed on those crops, and that there may be lower crop damage as a result of the increased calcium in the plant tissues. Whereas in the standard organic crops, you may expect to see better larval development and perhaps greater crop damage. Now, as far as biocontrol, there really aren't any preconceived hypotheses, at least that I've been able to find, but we decided nevertheless to take a look at biocontrol in our study in natural enemies to see if there was any kind of pattern. The study that I will talk about today actually took place in 2013. We decided to focus on the corn plots within the system and the common pest, the European corn borer, with which I'm sure most people in the room are intimately familiar. It's been around since the 1900s. Of course, BT corn has knocked back the populations nationwide, but it still can be locally abundant within organic crops. And, you know, it's an extensively studied pest, so it's pretty easy to get a hold of. The larval performance assay that we did did occur in the field, and we decided to run this experiment twice in our plots. The reason being is that in south central Wisconsin, we have two flights of the European corn borer annually. So each of these rounds of the experiment corresponded biologically with those two flights. So the first generation, there were four BCSR plots and four standard organic plots that were planted in corn this year. Within each of the plots, the plants during this first round were approximately V7 stage, so about 1 meter tall. The last cultivation had occurred, and the plants were old enough that we could infest them with corn borers. So these plants were infested with anywhere from 0 to 6 European corn borer egg masses, each egg mass containing somewhere between 40 and 100 eggs. So our infestations were very, very high, but the goal with this was to try to push the system to see if it was possible to discern any effects. Half of these plants were immediately covered with a cloth bag in order to prevent the eggs from being predated upon, while the other half, the eggs were left exposed for 2 days, and then prior to their hatching, those plants were also covered with bags. In order to determine if there were predation effects, and then also what happened to the larvae subsequently. The larvae were allowed to feed on the plants for about 10 days. I wanted to run this experiment for longer, but unfortunately the corn plants outgrew the bags, so we had to cut them down. And at that point, we collected the following data. So plant tissue nutrients were actually collected from individual leaves before we infested the plants. We wanted to make sure that the larvae weren't affecting the mineral content of the plants. And though we tested for a total of 12 macro and micro minerals, I'm just going to focus on the calcium and sulfur concentrations today. We also collected above ground biomass to determine if there was any relationship between that and the amount of pest damage or amount of pests that were on each plant. For the corn borers, we looked at the, we dissected every individual plant that we collected from the field, pulled out the larvae, determined the number of surviving corn borers on each plant, as well as we measured the development stage of each of the instars by measuring the prothoracic plate on the larva. That gives you a kind of a better estimation of their development stage as opposed to mass, which can be highly variable. And then we determine the mean development stage of European corn borers per plant. So again, just to summarize what predicted effects we should find, if you're adding gypsum, if the BCSR hypothesis is correct, you should expect to see improved nutrients and biomass in your plants. You should expect to see some sort of reduced larval survivorship or development. Of course, increased corn borers is going to decrease their own survivorship and development due to interspecific competition, and they're also going to be damaging the corn. And then with our predation treatment, you should expect that if predators were allowed to feed on the eggs, you're going to have lower survivorship of your larvae and subsequently higher biomass on the plants. So what did we actually find? So I just wanted to give a brief overview of the nutrient profile. These nutrient profiles are actually pulled from a previous study that I did that was a greenhouse study, but it was using the same soils from this field, so I'll just show you these results because they're nicer graphs than what I have for the other data. What you can see is that our gypsum additions, if you compare these green blocks here, which is the standard organic, to the white circles, which is the BCSR, we managed to significantly change the calcium to magnesium to potassium ratio in the soil, but we also significantly altered the amount of sulfur that was in the soil. Now, if you compare this side by side with what happens in the plant tissue, you notice that the ratios of calcium to magnesium to potassium are not shifted nearly as much as they are in the soil. So while there is a little more calcium getting into these plants, it's not a lot. Most of it is staying in the soil. The sulfur, on the other hand, is significantly different in the plant tissues between BCSR and standard organic. Now, as far as the European corn borer larvae and how they responded, I'll start with survivorship effects. The only major survivorship effect that we saw was an effect of our cover treatment. So uncovered treatments, if you recall, are the ones where the larvae were actually predated upon. And as you can see, overall final number of larvae that you found on each plant was lower as a result of that predation. So we know the predators are there. We know that they're doing their job. However, there was no significant effect of soil treatment on survivorship of larvae, and there were no interactions. As far as corn borer development, we noticed a couple of things. First of all, one thing I found that was interesting is that there was actually a slightly faster development of the egg on the eggs that were covered as opposed to the eggs that were left open to predation. My best guess that I've heard at this point is the reason being for this effect is that the eggs, when they were covered, it actually warmed the plant a little bit. So it's possible that those eggs hatched out a little faster. But we also notably saw a interaction effect between the number of egg masses and soil treatment. So as the number of egg masses that we infested a plant with increased, we saw lower mean developmental stage of the larvae, which you might expect as a result of intraspecific competition. But we only saw that in the standard organic plants. In the BCSR plants, the ones that received gypsum addition, we didn't see that effect of intraspecific competition, which is really interesting. So that actually opposes what you might expect from BCSR. The larvae seem to be developing actually a little better on the plants that received this gypsum supplementation. Now, for the round two of the experiment, the plants were a bit more developed at this point. We waited until the blister stage of corn ear development. And once again, we infested the plants with egg masses. This time we did 0, 2, or 4 because I wanted to let the experiment run a bit longer, and we had some logistical difficulties with a 6 egg mass treatment. This time around, we actually had 3 treatments. So the first treatment was simply a predation assay. We placed the eggs on the ear of the plant, collected them after 2 days, and just counted the number of chewed or missing eggs to determine predation rates. Second, we had the egg covered treatment, which was the same treatment that we had in the first study, where we covered the eggs immediately with a cloth to prevent predation. And then we had an egg uncovered treatment where, again, the eggs were left exposed for 2 days to allow for predation, and then they were covered up with a cloth. This time the experiment was run for 14 days, so we were able to get a little better larval data. The data that we collected from the plants, again, we collected plant tissues before we infested. We also, this time, because we had ears, we were able to get an assessment of the proportion kernels damaged so we could get an idea of yield loss. The larval data was the same that we collected for the first study, number of surviving larvae, mean development stage. And then for the predators, we had that predation assay, so we were able to look at the number of corn borer eggs missing or predated. And then also, while the study was occurring, I went through and did 2 visual counts of how many predators were on each of the plants just to see if I could detect differences in abundance in the fields. So the egg predation result, this was the only significant result I got, and I cannot explain it. So if anybody has any ideas what may be happening here, that would be great. What we found was that if you increase the number of eggs, the number of eggs that are predated or missing also increase, as you might expect in standard organic, but there was really not that difference in the BCSR plots. And what's really puzzling about this is that there was absolutely no difference in the observed number of predators per treatment. So there was a predation effect, although again, it seems like predation, if anything, was slightly more effective in the standard organic plots, not the BCSR plots, but I don't know what might be driving this. As far as larval performance, we did not see a significant effect this time of the cover treatment, although there was a marginal effect, and it was the same pattern that we would notice before. If the eggs were predated upon, then there were generally fewer larvae on the plant, although not significantly. Soil treatment, once again, did not significantly affect survivorship. And then as far as larval development goes, this time you might want to say that the same pattern was there, but in reality it was not. The data were highly variable, and we saw no effect of larval development being affected by soil treatment in the second round. However, what we did see was a difference in yield loss between the two treatments. And what's interesting about this is, of course, yield loss, the proportion of kernels damaged, increase as you increase the number of larvae, but this increase was less in the BCSR treatment. So it may seem like, aha, there's some support for this BCSR hypothesis after all, because they're sustaining less damage, at least at really high larval densities. So to get at what the actual mechanism is here and whether calcium seems to be driving this relationship, the final thing that we did was we took those plant nutrients that we'd assessed at the very beginning on a plant-by-plant basis and ran a path analysis. So this is taking out the soil treatment altogether and just focusing on the relationship between the plant nutrients, the number of corn borer larvae, and the corn plant biomass or yield, depending on which round of the study we looked at. So in the subsequent graphs, I'm going to show you any black arrows are a not significant effect, any blue arrows are a positive effect, and any red arrows are a significantly negative effect. And what you see from all these lovely black arrows is that for round one, there was no significant effect of anything, could not discern any relationships between plant nutrients, the number of larvae on the plant, or corn plant biomass. However, in round two, we saw a much different relationship. In this case, as you increase the number of egg masses, of course you would expect to see more larvae, which was the case. More larvae lead to greater yield loss. And as far as the nutrients go, though, the nutrients did not seem to have a direct effect on yield loss in the plants. Instead, they seem to be indirectly affecting yield via their effect on European corn borer larvae. What's even more interesting is that the correlation between corn calcium and larvae was positive, but corn sulfur was negative. So once again, this does not seem to support BCSR, because while we are finding this effect of nutrients, the mechanism that could be suppressing larval prevalence and therefore yield damage seems to be the sulfur, not the calcium. So to summarize, if you're comparing the bottom-up versus the top-down effects in this system, we saw fairly strong bottom-up effects of the nutrient treatments that we implemented. There were some top-down effects, although they didn't seem to align at all with ultimately with the yield of the crop. And then as far as the nutrients, we found that nutrients in late-season corn actually did affect European corn borers. Or affect damage by European corn borers, in that there was lower damage in the BCSR corn, but that mechanism seems to be more tied with sulfur than with calcium. So the BCSR mechanism itself is not supported, but gypsum additions themselves could mediate pest damage to crops. And that's all I have at this point, so if you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
We can take a question or two for Evan.
Yes.
What is the pH of the soil that you're working with here? What I'm looking for is, with the sulfur, because of the higher relatively alkaline soil?
I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Typical Arlington soil?
Yeah, typical Arlington soil. It was not, yeah. And we did not notice any change. We did manage to keep pH constant over the course of the study.
6.5 is pretty neutral.
Yeah.
What kind of corn?
This was an organic variety, Viking 6710.
Right, one more question for Ebony as we transition.
Yeah.
I'm just suggesting it would be nice to see someone do a follow-up study on that to look at soil quality differences.
As in aggregation size or, okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ebony.